The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
That I want everyone who is involved in Teshuvah, that you are in the spirit of agreement, you're coming into agreement with this season, and we have continued to do this for a period of 40 days of Teshuvah. Today, we're going to focus on this specific topic. So if, at this time, again, we thank all of our podcast listeners, our YouTube listeners, and our Facebook Live listeners. Today, we're going to home in on prodigal sons and daughters. Now, this doesn't mean, when we say this term, it doesn't just mean your sons or daughters, but it can mean individuals who once had a relationship with God, and for whatever reason, whatever circumstance, you know, and I know that they are not right with God right now. They've gone astray. They're in prodigal living. They've gone back to their old ways. They've gone back to drinking. They've gone back to partying. They've gone back to drugs. They've gone back to alcohol. They've gone back to fornication. They've gone back to their old ways, the old nature. And they're in this prodigal state of living. So in this segment today, I'm going to give you the word of God today on this topic and why we need to pray for them. And then at the end of this segment, I want you to join with me, and we're all going to come together, and we're going to begin to pray, intercede, and begin to believe God that we will begin to see prodigal sons and daughters coming back to the fold. There's many in the body of Christ in this hour that are, again, in prodigal living, and something or circumstances has driven them to this state. And I've made a list here and compiled a list of things that many times cause individuals who, we all know these guys, every one of us, we all are acquainted with someone or people that we personally know or knew that were on fire for God at one time. They were always at church. They were always in the Bible study. They were always in the home group meeting. They were always involved in prayer. They were always reading their Bible. They were always involved or engaged in serving the Lord. But over a period of time, something caused them to no longer be active in the body of Christ. And when I say the body of Christ, I mean it could be involved in a brick and mortar church. It could be, that could be a home church. That could be a cell meeting. That could be a Bible study, whatever that looks like. Or you know they're no longer engaged in prayer. They're no longer in their word. And when you communicate with them and talk to them via by phone or social media, you could tell they're distant, or they don't want to hear about God anymore. And you've been grieved over this because you know at one time they had a passion, they had a fervor, they were dedicated to the Lord. But again, I believe there is, it's not just one thing, guys, that drives them into this state, but I believe it could be many things. And I believe this, when I begin to name these things, I think that many of you guys are going to begin to realize, and maybe this will hit home with you, with maybe your family, maybe your friends, or people that you're acquainted with that fall in these categories. Number one is the lust of pleasures of earthly things. The book of James chapter 4. Now, guys, I'm not going to pull these up on the scripture or on the screen today. We may incorporate these when we take this broadcast and I edit this and we upload it to YouTube. There may be some scriptures on this, but we will read these to you so you can open your Bible and read these, because many times this becomes distracting. And so I want to read this. James chapter 4 talks about the desire of pleasure, of coveting and obtaining things can cause individuals to fall away. Even Jesus said that the seed of the word of God many times will fall on soil, but the enemy comes and it is choked out by the lust of other things. The coveting, the lusting after other things. Because listen, and I blame a lot of this on modern preachers and pastors behind pulpits. Because when they're preaching this hyper prosperity gospel, they have convinced and swayed their flock into believing that God is some kind of mystical Santa Claus, or he's a slot machine, and they put their tithe money into the slot machine and they pull the lever. And when they pull the lever, boom, out comes a new Mercedes. Boom, out comes a new Range Rover, or out comes the latest and greatest, or they can keep up with this, or that God is going to give them the desires of their flesh. Again, I want to preface this by saying I am not again. I don't believe God per se is against you having nice things, but if your focus, come on, I'm going to preach to myself today too. Don't get mad at me. I'm preaching to all of us today, even myself. I want to keep myself in check. There's nothing wrong with things, but when our focus begins to exalt and magnify things and the lust of other things above God, we begin to lose our focus. And if for whatever reason we don't get the thing in which we are asking for, many people begin to turn away from God. Well, you know, so-and-so was serving God, but you know, the house that they really wanted fell through and they got mad and they fell away from God. The husband or the wife that they wanted, that they never confided with God to begin with, but they, because they lusted after them and they had a nice smile, or they had a nice body, or they had a lot of money, or they were popular, and so you were attracted to them, and this is what you wanted, and so you pursued them and left God in the dust. And when you didn't get to obtain what you lusted after, what you wanted, you began to blame God, and you turned on God, and you became mad at God. You know how many people are not serving God today because their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever the case may be are not with them today, and thus, because they perceived that that's what was going to fulfill their happiness, they have pushed God aside or shunned him or blamed him. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the lust of other things. Earthly pleasures many times cause people to begin to fall away from serving God. Number two, here's a big one, guys. Hurts and wounds that are obtained inside the house of God. Let me say that again. Hurts and wounds that are obtained inside the house of God. Many have abandoned the house of God in this hour because of the hurts and wounds they've obtained inside the church and from many leaders behind pulpits. The biting and devouring among one another has resulted in the driving out of many from the church. Many have developed a perception of believers as a Judas, a Peter, or a Thomas. Let me explain that. See, when you read the New Testament, you see Judas, Peter, and Thomas, who were chosen by God, raised up by God, and were appointed by God to be part of his disciples to spread the gospel. But watch this. Peter, who was one of the New Testament pillars of the early church, Peter had a problem. Peter had a temper. Peter swore. Peter acted in violence. Peter denied Christ three times. Then you have Thomas, who everything was good until there was a certain point where Thomas began to doubt. That's why he was given the label Doubting Thomas. And then, of course, you have Judas. Judas was one of the 12. Judas was there when God appointed to them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. When God began to empower the believers to cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead, Judas was among them. But Judas had a problem, and it was the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Judas was the treasurer of the church. So again, so if we based all of Christianity on a Peter or a Thomas or a Judas, then we will begin to develop this perception that all these church people have anger issues. Come on, somebody. Cussing issues. And they'll deny God under certain circumstances of pressure. Or if they perceived it to be Thomas, these Christians don't even believe what they're preaching and what they're saying. Huh? Or these Christians are backstabbers. They'll betray you over silver and gold. But guys, we know that that's just not the truth. Listen, but here's the problem we have. All of us. When we get wounded in the house of God by a preacher, a member of the church, an elder, a deacon, whatever the case may be, they said something we didn't agree with. They offended us. They hurt our feelings. They betrayed us. They lied on us. They did something. They threw us under the bus, whatever. We have to be very careful not to paint the whole body of Christ with such a broad brush that everybody is like this. How many people do you know at your job, people in your family, whatever the case may be, and you talk to them about Christianity or serving God, inevitably you'll hear this over and over again. They're all hypocrites. They're all the same. They all do this. They all do that. And you'll discover when you get to the root cause of what has formed their perception of the of Christianity and God and the church is it has been produced by these wounds that they obtained in the house of God. So what do? Here's what we got to do as members of the body. Let's talk about Judas, Peter, and Thomas. Because even though, listen, obviously there was traits in them that God saw that we didn't. Can I say this, guys? We are all broken vessels. We all have treasure in these earthen vessels. We are all made of dust of the earth. But again, I want to say this, but there is treasure in these earthen vessels. You may not see it. You may not perceive it, and you may not be able to reason this out and figure out how in the world does God see any value in this brother or this sister or that person, but listen, God does and sees that. But many times we are blinded by this, and I'm going to throw this in because it's right in the same category. Another thing that causes hurts and wounds in the body of Christ is the sowing of discord among the brethren, which, by the way, according to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, is one of the seven things that God hates. And he says, I hate those who sow discord among the brethren. Let me tell you the impacts of sowing discord among the brethren. When someone begins to sow discord among the brethren, among the church, among the ecclesia, about someone else that could be true or not, and most of the time it's not, I'm just saying that, what happens is it begins to corrupt the image that you have of that couple or that individual. In other words, let me give you an example. I'm just going to throw this out there. Someone comes to you and they begin to tell you something about so-and-so, this brother or this sister or this couple. And they say, yeah, you know, they have a history of stealing money, even though you've never seen them stealing money, even though you've never had any reason to believe that they would ever steal money. But now that seed has been sown into your heart, and now there may be a circumstance that would come up where they would have to oversee something that would involve money or funds. Immediately, that's going to be recalled to you. That thought's going to be birthed in you because the seed that was sown of discord, now you're hesitant not because of discernment, not because you've been praying, and not because God has shown it to you, but because the seed of discord has been sown into your heart about them. It has altered your perception about them. And this, my friends, is why God says he hates discord that is sown among the brethren. And this is why he dealt with Miriam in the Old Testament. When she began to run her mouth, she was and began to complain against Moses and the leadership that God had rose up. Even though she was family, she still suffered leprosy as a result of it. Wow. So this right here has caused many people to not step foot back in a church, a Bible study, or anything to do with God. Number three, so number one, the lust of pleasure of earthly things. Number two, hurts and wounds obtained in the house of God. Number three, here's another one, depression and oppression has caused many to stray away. Many have fallen away from the body of Christ because of strongholds of oppression and depression that is gripping many today in the body of Christ. They're dealing with things of the mind, strongholds of the mind. The enemy has strategically isolated many, and I'm going to say this is ironic coming from our platform, but I'm going to say it anyway. The enemy has strategically isolated many through social media. What do I mean by that? Many people who suffer depression, the last thing they want to do is be social. The last thing they want to do is drag themselves out of bed, get cleaned up, and get around a bunch of people in a church building or a gathering or a Bible study. Thus, one, you know, it's like social media. I've always said social media is like a two-edged sword. You got the good, but you've got the bad. The bad part of it is people will use it to their advantage to cater to depression. They won't go to a gathering. They won't go to a Bible study. They won't go and gather together with other believers as the Bible commands them to, because they stay in the seat of depression. And listen, the devil wants to isolate you from the church. He wants you alone. He wants you to be separated. Why? Because when you're alone, you're more prone to attack. You're more weak. You're more vulnerable, and you're more susceptible to be bombarded with these attacks. Have you ever, listen, tell me this is not true. Have you ever noticed every time, I'm telling you, I could tell you many, many times when I just didn't feel like going to church. I know you're shocked right now. But there's been times I didn't feel like going to church. I didn't feel like being around anybody. I didn't feel like being around a bunch of people. But you know what's amazing about that? Every single time I've ever felt like that, when I pressed through it, pressed on, and forced myself to get up and go into the house of God, go into a group of other believers, whether it be, again, in a church or a home group meeting or whatever, where there's other believers, those were the times that I had the most powerful services and encounters with God. And I look back and I've learned over the years that most of the time, when you begin to feel that heaviness and that oppressiveness and that spirit that is trying to pull you away from the church or gatherings of other believers, you better watch out, because that's a sign that the devil is trying to keep you isolated and keep you locked down somewhere and hidden away so that you cannot have the experience of getting around, come on, where there are two or more gathered, where his presence is, and there's a power there that's released through a corporate gathering that can set you free from depression and oppression. But it's going to take something, and that's to press through. But unfortunately, the devil, that many has been succumbed to the enemy and his tactics of isolating them. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a man who wanders from his place will ultimately be destroyed. We have, let's somebody say this with me. Ready? We need each other. How can the foot say into the hand, I don't need you? How can the mouth say to the eyes, I don't need you? We are all many members of the same body, and we all need each other because there's strength in numbers. There's power in numbers. And the enemy knows this, and that's why he wants, come on, the Bible says that a house divided among itself will not stand. All right? So number one, lust of pleasures, pulling people away from the Lord. Number two, hurts and wounds inside the house of God, pulling people from the presence of the Lord, from serving the Lord. Depression, oppression, keeping people isolated from where the power and the anointing is to set them free and where people can pray for them and help them. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, friends, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more you're going to need each other. The more I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. We need one another to pray for one another, exhort one another, edify one another, and I'm going to say it, rebuke one another when needed. I get tickled at these people. I call them these lone rangers, believers that say, I don't need a church. I don't need anybody. It's going to be me in the woods and me in the lake, and that's our church. Yeah. And they have nobody to hold them accountable. They have no one to pray with them. They have no one to oversee them. They have no one to disciple them and no one to lead them. Friends, it's not biblical. The church, the ecclesia, is a plural tense word, meaning it is many members of one body, not just you on the backside of a lake, come on, in a boat somewhere. I know that sounds real spiritual and you sound real strong, but I'm telling you, mark my words, those individuals will go strong they're like sprinters. They come out strong, but they breath out, they run out of breath real quick because the first time they encounter troubles, trials, afflictions, or anything of the such, you'll see how quick they last when they don't have a support base and they don't have a pastor and they don't have a covering. Come on. I'm preaching good today. I'm trying to help you out. And yes, that means even Brother Ricky. Listen, I have a pastor, in case you didn't know that. I have a pastor. I am under a pastor. I'm serving under a pastor and a local church here in Georgia. I'm accountable to my pastor. He knows everything I preach, everything I teach, what he knows my family inside and out. Why? Because I've made myself vulnerable to him because I need him in my life and he needs me. We need each other. All right, number four. Here's a big one too, guys, that is impacting especially the younger people. And it's the spirit of pharmakia. You say the spirit of what? Listen, Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. Listen what it says. Those who were not killed by plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21, Revelation 9. And they did not repent of their murders or depending on what translation you read here, of their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. The word sorcery, somebody say sorceries. Here in the Greek, if you're like me, and I was an 80s kid, I was raised on, listen, when I was not raised in a Christian home. I wish I was, but I wasn't. When I came up in the 80s, I watched cartoons like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and there was a little character on there called Orko. Listen, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, and that's all right, so just hang on, and I'll explain it in just a second. But nevertheless, this show was full of sorcery, and Orko was a sorcerer. So when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and began to read Revelation 9, and I came to this word sorceries, that's the first thing I thought of was wizards. Remember, there was a game I used to play. Again, I'm not proud of this, but this was, I call it BC, before Christ, before the eyes of my understanding were open. There was a real popular board game in the 80s and early 90s that many of us played. Some of y'all played this. It was called Dungeons and Dragons, again, full of sorcery and magic. It was a role-playing game. But this is the first image that I got here. But when you break this word sorcery here down in the Greek, this is not at all what it's talking about. And the Greek word here is pharmakeia, and it's where we get the root word pharmacy. So it says that there will come a time when there will be a group of individuals who will be bound and succumb to pharmakeia, or watch this, pharmaceutical drugs. They will be bound by narcotics and drugs that many times they can be given over the counter. Guys, this has been happening for years. Why do you think they banned many things like that contain like pseudoephedrine and different things? They had to ban it because it was being used to get high. So this is what's happening here. And so this is what John the Revelator is talking about here, is pharmakeia. And we've got a whole generation, and when you study this out, it doesn't just mean over the counter, but we're talking about meth, we're talking about crack, we're talking about cocaine, we're talking about marijuana. Yes, that's going to stir up some devils right now. Listen, I don't understand spirit filled, you know, when you get Christians that want to justify getting high, I don't understand that. Listen, I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is from a former pot smoker. I used to smoke weed. I used to drink alcohol very rarely because I lived with alcoholics for 23 years. So it wasn't very appealing to me. But nevertheless, I can relate to a lot of people. But listen, when I got saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I no longer had a desire for that. So I don't understand Christians, so-called Christians, that feel like they have to have these things to get by, to cope. No, listen, you don't need Budweiser or something that you can roll up, or something you should put in a pipe or put in a needle and put in your vein to get by. Listen, all you need is to lift up your hands, cry unto the Lord, and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when he fills you with that, the Bible says, be not drunk and with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that should shave down our live broadcast about 20% right there. They're dropping like flies right there. But listen, I am not about popularity. I'm not about getting people to follow me and try to be the most popular preacher out there. I'm about trying to get people saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and be heaven bound. I've said this before. I'd rather you go to heaven mad than make you happy and send you to hell any day of the week. So you can get mad at me, you can unfollow me, and you can move on to some other preacher that'll pat you on the back and tell you it's okay for you to keep packing your pipe and keep rolling up your pot and keep drinking your alcohol and keep flying and keep fornicating and committing adultery and living the same sinful life that God delivered you out of, and keep telling you lies that you're going to make it into the kingdom. Come on, when the Bible says narrow and compressed is the way unto eternal life, and few be there that find it. All right, I'm off my soapbox right now. I'm going to get back to this. But I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of losing teenagers and kids to alcohol and to drugs and all this garbage. Listen, guys, I'm speaking from a father's heart. I've got a 13-year-old and I've got a 6-year-old boy. And I'm going to tell you right now, as long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to tell them and I'm going to preach to them and I'm going to live a life to testify to them that there is no high like the Most High. That you, everything that you can chase after, that you could try to find in a pipe and try to find in a bottle and try to find in a something that you can roll up or try to find something that you can sleep with, you can find the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can find that in the Holy Ghost. This is what's needed today, and we're losing our young people. And listen, I'm telling you, and many of this is blamed on the parents. How dare you even get angry for a minute about your children being bound by alcohol when they come home from school and you're sitting on your couch drinking it yourself? Oh, come on. I'm going to shave it down till we got a remnant today. Come on, Jesus preached so hard that most of them left, and he looked at Peter and he said, aren't you going to go with them? And he said, I ain't got nowhere else to go. Listen, there's parents out there that are weeping and crying, and they come to the pastors and they come to preachers and they're saying, pray for my kids because now they're bound on all kinds of hard drugs and everything else. And then you begin to counsel them and you'll discover that the parents are smoking weed with their kids in the same house. And then they don't understand why their kids are bound by all this stuff. Come on, somebody, wake up. It's time to wake up. And turn, teshuvah, turn back to God. In fact, 3.4 million young adults ages 18 to 25 had an alcohol use disorder in 2017. 2.5 million young adults had an illicit drug use disorder in 2017. And heroin use among young adults between the ages of 18 and 25 doubled in the past decade, and that was in 2017. And I assure you that it has not dropped, but it has increased. All right, so number one, again, let's recap. Lust of pleasures of earthly things. People are falling away from God. Number two, hurts and wounds inside the house of God. Number three, depression and oppression by the enemy. Number four, the spirit of pharmakia that is gripping our nation's young people and even parents. And then the last one. There is many prodigals that may be watching or listening to this broadcast today that are simply running from their call. They're running from the call. They've been called to be a pastor. Nope, don't want it. They're running. They've been called to be a prophet. Yes, a prophet. To a voice today, a watchman today. Nope, don't want it. They've been called to be something in the body of Christ. And because it's going to cost them something, because it's going to cost them their reputation. It's going to cause them to lose friends. It's going to cause them to give up some stuff that they don't want to give up. It's going to cost them everything. They don't want to surrender to the call. They're like Jonah. They're running from their destinies. I believe there's people here today that fall in that category. They got saved. They had a fervor. They had a passion for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God began to say things like, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me, and die daily. And they said, ho, wait a minute. Look, I'll follow you, Lord. That's cool. And I'll be like Peter, and I'll follow you from a distance, and I'll warm my hand at the fire, but I'm not willing to get in the fire. You can come to my house, but you got to sit on the front porch. I can't let you in my house because if I let you in my house, then you will see all the junk that I'm not willing to give up. Come on, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying today. Come on, the Jesus I serve is standing at the door and knocking. He doesn't want a part of you. He doesn't want you on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. He doesn't want you just on Easter or Christmas. He wants all of your life. And the devil has convinced you and convinced them. You know, if I really surrender to this God thing and I really give my life to the gospel, I'm going to lose the life I know. And this, again, falls in the category of the seed and the sower. Some fell on seed and they received it with joy for a while, but the cares of life choked it out. Persecution because of the word choked it out. When the friends that they used to hang with are not there anymore, the girlfriend that you thought you wanted to marry is no longer attractive to you anymore because the veil of your eyes has been lifted. And now you see through a new lens of the Holy Spirit today. I'm telling you, there's people that scares the living daylights out of people because they are not willing to give that up. Come on, I know this is a hard preaching today, guys, but listen to me. I believe there's some today that are watching this, and you really want to see your sons, your daughters, your neighbors, your work, your employees that you work with, your husband, your wife. You've got people or person in your life that you know had a relationship with God at one time, and your heart is broken for them, and you really want to see them come back to the Lord. Let me give you one more word, and it's out of the book of Luke chapter 15. This is the story of the prodigal son, and I want to give you hope with this. I'm going to leave you with a word of encouragement. In the story of Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son, we see here that he had a relationship with God. He had a covenant with God, but the Bible says that he decided one day, obviously his heart became cold. He began to lose the fervor, the passion. He no longer seen the value of his relationship with his father and the covenant that he had with his father. Thus, he decided to take a journey to a far country and waste his possessions with prodigal living. And the Bible says in verse 14, he spent all that he had. But when a famine arose in the land, he began to be in want. This is verse 14 of Luke 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And the Bible says he became hungry. And then in verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, that's when he began to realize and the light went off. It was like the oppression lifted, the veil lifted. And it was that moment, he said, quote, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough in despair? And here I am dying of hunger. He says, quote, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And the Bible says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion upon him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Guys, this is what I want to tell you today. And you'll hear me say this over and over again. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care. Listen, they may have been in the house of God 10 years ago, but now they're on a street corner smoking crack. They may have been in the house of God 5 years ago, and they were happily married and got kids, but now they're away from God. They got a divorce, and they're living in adultery. I don't care. You may say, I know a woman of God who was on the worship team But now she is just sleeping around and she's become a Jezebel. I don't care how bad it looks and how deep in sin they are. According to this word of God, as long as they have breath in their bodies, they have a heart beating in their chest, you and I are called to be the father in that story of the prodigal father. Listen, it doesn't tell you this, but I can assure you that that prodigal father, the prodigal son's father, he every day he was praying, he was interceding, and he was fasting that the day would come that his son would come to his senses, that the veil would be lifted, that the oppression would break off, that the prodigal living would come to an end. And I want to remind you that it took the prodigal son to go all the way to the bottom, to hit rock bottom. But when he got to rock bottom, the Bible says something clicked. And he said in his mind, he said, "What am I doing here? I had it all. I had a family that loved me. I had a father that affirmed me. And I took, come on, his blessing and everything that he gave me. And I ran off and did my own thing. And it's not working for me. It's not producing fruit for me." Listen, I want to tell you something today, my friend. It may look like they're living it up. It may look like they're happy as can be. It may look like that they are just living their best life without God. But I'm going to tell you, deep down inside, they are wrestling. When they sleep at night, there is not peace in their heart, because they know deep down on the inside of them that they have an eternal purpose, and they have a gift that God has given them. They have a purpose that God has given them, and they're squandering it away, living in sin and living for the devil. And there is this continual wrestling on the inside of them. So here's what I want to tell you today, friends that are watching by Facebook Live, watching by YouTube, listening by podcast. Don't give up. During this season of Tesh Shavah, bombard heaven. Keep praying. Keep interceding. Keep travailing. Right now, I feel the anointing coming on me right now. So we need to pray right now. I'm asking everyone that will do this to begin to call out whoever that prodigal son is, that prodigal daughter, or plural tense, sons, daughters, a wife, a husband, a neighbor, a coworker, whoever that is, an uncle, a nephew, a sister, a brother. It don't matter. Begin to call their names out before heaven right now, where you're at. Begin to call them out. And listen, as you're calling them out in prayer, you need to begin to bombard heaven and attack what is keeping them in prodigal living. What is keeping them away from God? What has driven them away from God? If you know for a fact it has been a wound, it's been a hurt, it's been division, it's been discord, it's been the pleasure of earthly things, depression, oppression, drugs, they're running from their call, whatever it is, you need to begin to bind that spirit. Open your mouth. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, I come into agreement with every individual under the sound of my voice today or watching this program today. I come into agreement with them today. And Lord, I begin to pray for their sons and pray for their daughters and pray for their family members and pray for their neighbors and pray for their coworkers. I begin to bombard heaven today. Lord, oh God, I'm asking that you would hear our prayers today. God, that you'd begin to bind up the works of the enemy today. Lord, let the blinders begin to fall off eyes and minds of those that are oppressed and all those that are depressed today. Lord, those that have been wounded in the house of God, Lord, I'm asking that their wounds would be healed. Lord, that they would begin to wake up and they begin to turn back to you, that they would see that there is a remnant in the house of God, that Lord, that there is many, that Lord, we are weak, but Lord, and we have faults, but we are forgiven, God. and we are pursuing you, God, and that there is legitimate, genuine people that love you, God, and love the church and love people, Lord, and that, Lord, that these individuals would begin to drop, Lord, the condemnation that the enemy, as the accuser of the brethren, has tried to get them to partner with him. But Lord, they'll begin to partner with heaven, and says that they will, that none perish and all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I call out every prodigal son and daughter. I call them out of the drug house. I call them out of the whorehouse. I call them, Lord, out of relationships that are pulling them away from God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you begin to sever every chain, every shackle, every device, and every mechanism that the devil is using and keeping them from the house of God and serving God and from the presence of God in Jesus' name. If it's false religion, break it off of them in Jesus' name. If it's wounds and hurts and afflictions, break it off of them in Jesus' name, oh God. Lord, I come against every drug, every alcohol, every substance that keeps them in delusion and keeps them numbed down and keeps their mind altered, and it's opening them up to demonic spirits. I bind it off of them in Jesus' name. Come on, don't just listen to me pray today. You need to pray. You need to come into agreement. Open your mouth. Begin to speak to your mountain. Begin to speak for your children. Begin to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for your family and for your friends and for your neighbors. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we declare revival over the prodigals in Jesus' name. Lord, though they've been succumbed to this for a season, Lord, I thank you that weeping has endured for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Lord, where there's been seasons of weeping, there's been seasons of mourning, there's been seasons of anxiety, seasons of affliction, and seasons of depression, I prophesy that there is coming the joy of the Lord, unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, just like that, Lord, it could be raining and cloudy and storming one day, and then it passes, and the sun rises, and it's blue skies. The storm is over. And Lord, I thank you today, as it is in the natural, I declare it in the spiritual, God. Lord, they're coming out in Jesus' name. They're coming forth in Jesus' name. God, I call the silver and gold and precious treasures out of earthen vessels, God, over those that have been rejected by religion. Religion has overlooked them. Religion has despised them. And religion has dispelled them from the church. And they have been wounded, and they've been hurt, and they've been expelled, and they've been outcasted, not because of sin, not because of any moral thing that they did, but because they didn't look the part, talk the part, act the part, and because they weren't part of that denomination or that mode. God, we call them in Jesus' name, not into a denomination, not into a program, not into religion, but we call them into a relationship, the koinonia of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Come on. I'm going to go with the Holy Ghost. I heard the Holy Spirit say there is somebody or somebodies out there that you have been away from God. You once had a relationship with God. You were on fire for God. You were serving God. You were serving the church, but you have drifted away. And the wound for you was because someone in your family or a friend, I don't know for sure, it could be both. You pray for them to get healed of an affliction or a disease or an infirmity. And because the outcome of it did not happen the way that you anticipated to be, it has caused your heart to become calloused. It's caused wounds and bitterness to come into your heart. And you have even questioned your own theology, and you've questioned the existence of God. I'm telling you right now, that's for somebody right now. And I want to tell you today that the Bible says that God is still on the throne. Yes, I still believe he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. But listen to me, friends. Even the word of God says in Psalms 90, verse 10, that man's years are 70 and 80 or more by reason of strength. Listen, it's appointed unto man to once to die, but then the judgment. If the Lord doesn't return while we're alive and remain, then we're all going to one day die. So don't lose your walk with God. Don't fall out over God over a mystery of why they didn't get healed. Why didn't God heal them and deliver them? Listen, friends, I've been in the same boat with you. My own mother, I had to walk this out. But I realized that he is sovereign. But I thank him that though the outward man was perishing, her inward man was being renewed. And today, though she may not be here in the physical flesh, she is in heaven with God. The Bible says, fear not those who have the power to kill the body, but who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell. Listen, you can't threaten a Christian with death because we have eternal life. I hope this is helping somebody today. I'm telling you, friends, I believe today that God heard our prayers. I believe God heard our intercession today. And listen, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and I know he is, come on, continue to pray earnestly. Remember the widow in Luke 18, I believe it is, the persistent widow. She cried out night and day, how much more shall your heavenly Father avenge his elect who cry out night and day? Though he tarry, he will avenge them speedily. Come on, do y'all believe that today? I need you to give the Lord an amen or a hallelujah or something here today, because I'm telling you, I felt the presence of God moving on this broadcast today. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We're going to share with you, I want to show you, for all of our new folks, many of you guys know this already, but for those that are new, right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That is going to be our main website. Bookmark that, subscribe to that. Make sure that you keep that on the forefront so you'll know where we're at. Do not rely on social media outlets, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, any of these. Do not rely on these because they are temporary and they're here for a season. Download the app free today on Apple or Android, depending on what device that you personally have. Here's how you do it. I've had so many people ask me how to do this. All right, first of all, if you're listening by Facebook Live or you're watching this by YouTube, right there under the description, it says free app. There's a link. Click on that link, and when you go to that page, it's going to say, if you use an Apple device, click here. If you use an Android device, click here. When you click on that link, it's going to take you right to the app store, and you can download that app. If you're listening by podcast, go to your Apple store or your Android Play store, Google Play store rather, and type in End Time Headlines. And you're going to see our ETH End Time Headlines logo come up. Download the app. It's free. Push yes to push notifications, and you're going to be notified of all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast and YouTube videos. Having said that, guys, if you're watching by YouTube, don't forget to hit that bell and hit subscribe so you can be notified of when we go live and our next videos come out. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if you enjoy our ministry, if this ministry on a week-to-week basis, it edifies you, it encourages you, or it informs you, or all three, and you wish to partner with us, we want to give you that opportunity to do that. And you can do that either two different ways. You can give electronically by going to the app right down the bottom, hitting that donate button, or you can go to the main website, and you're going to see places all over the place that says support, partner, donate. Click on that. It's going to take you to a page, again, where you can give electronically, or you can give what I call old school method by check or money order. And you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, that is our official mailing address where you can, if you wish to give by check or money order. So as always, guys, We want to appreciate and thank you for coming on here. Please do not sign off yet. We want to do this real quick. It's only going to take about 2 minutes to do this. Many of you guys contact us through through physical mail, whether it's cards, thank you, prayer requests, gifts. So we want to take a moment here to thank a few people. So if you're watching this today, let's just going to go through this real quick. We want to thank Steve and Joyce from Madison, Indiana. Thank you for your generous support of End Time Headlines. Thank you, Deborah and Thomas from Pennsylvania. We want to say thank you to Sandra from Michigan. We want to thank the Rose from Michigan as well. We want to thank the Wheatleys from Virginia. Thank you for your prayers, your support, your prayer requests, and so on and so forth. We want to thank Glenda from Texas. We thank you for your support. We want to thank Lonnie from Oklahoma. Thank you again for your support and your prayers to our ministry. We want to thank Kelly from Missouri. And then we want to thank Angel from Lumpkin, Georgia. If you're watching this, we got Angel. Thank you so much for your, I'm pretty sure she sent us a wonderful gift from her business and a gift package, welcoming us to the state of Georgia. So Angel, thank you so much for that. We loved it. We appreciate your support and your generous gift to our ministry. And again, from the bottom of our hearts, guys, thank you so much for your support and your prayers to this ministry. We're going to sign off for today. Again, to end this week of podcasting, we'll be off all weekend. We'll be back on here, Lord willing, on Monday. And we're going to kick off next week with probably prophetic viewpoints and more encouraging messages like today. So don't miss it. Again, be sure to subscribe and keep in tune with what we're doing here at End Time Headlines. So until then, guys, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.